Good morning, my brothers and sisters, my CBC Corpus family and friends who are tuning in perhaps for the first time. We're glad you're joining us. We are in 1 Peter. We are looking at that letter of the Apostle Peter, and we're now in chapter 2. We're beginning a new chapter, but we're actually continuing a thought that the Apostle has laid out for us. All of this good news he laid out for us in chapter 1, the fact that we have a living hope, that we've been born again, all of these great truths that we have uncovered. If you haven't had time, I encourage you to go back and listen to those. But we are now in chapter 2. And so I want to consider that as we launch this new section, as we kind of go into a small portion of the text that I believe deals with some very specific, really imperatives and things that are action steps and that are fruits from our experience as believers who have been brought from death to life, who have been born again, as the Apostle Peter puts it. So if you will take a copy of God's Word, look at 1 Peter chapter 2 with me, beginning at verse 1, under the heading, "A Living Stone and a Holy People." Now you will remember, before I read, that we've been talking about holiness. Paul has said we must be holy as he is holy, as Christ is holy. And so there's a call to holiness. That means there's a call to live towards Christ, live for Christ, live in Christ. And holiness simply means that sanctifying process that cleanses us, that cleans away the things that will war against our living to the glory of God. And so this holiness that Paul is, we've talked about it in previous sermons, the holy mind, a holy fear, and a holy love. And so today, as we continue that thought, as we turn a corner, we begin to look at a holy craving. And so that's the title of our sermon today, A Holy Craving, from 1 Peter chapter 2. The first three verses read like this. Let's read the Word of God together. "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." What an interesting picture that the Apostle Peter is giving us as he talks about right away, therefore, or so put away, or rid yourself of all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long or desire for the pure spiritual milk, that is the Word of God, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Wow, what a precious truth. And so I hope you are able to see some very powerful things already just by reading the text. But before we go any further, let's pause and pray. Before I actually pray, I want to just say to my brothers and sisters, my CBC Corpus family, those of you who are listening in and watching this, we are praying for you. And I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, although we can't give a lot of details, there are needs that have been coming in, things that we've been praying about, and some of our brothers and sisters are suffering and hurting in different ways, not like what you might think, but in other ways that are significant. And can I invite you to just remember your brothers and sisters in prayer. God knows, and may we pray that God would continue to be with those who are hurting, families that are struggling through very, very critical issues. And we're just thankful that even in moments like those, we can turn to God, we can grow in our faith, we can learn to trust, we can find help and rest in Christ and in the body of Christ, in the church. And we are to pray one for another. As Pastor Eddie alluded to last Sunday, we are to love one another. That's what that love is. It's not a cultural love. It's not a temporal thing. It's not just a feeling. It is a real heartfelt desire for the goodwill and for the blessing of God and the comfort of God and the peace of God over the hurting, over those in our body, those in our church who are struggling. So as we pray, let's also think about those things. And if you have other requests, please send them in. Text them in, email them in, and let us know, or call us, and we will be glad to pray with you. We're here for you. Let us pray together, brothers and sisters. Father, as we contemplate what this text already is beginning to shed some light on, we are mindful that we are once again in need of coming to your word, of coming to you for help, to hear what we must hear, to know what we have to know, so that we can live how you've called us to live. And so help us to do that, Father. through the teaching and preaching and exposition of your holy, inerrant, sufficient word, Father. And as we think about our brothers and sisters, especially those right now who have been going through very difficult circumstances, Father, and you know exactly what those are, we lift our brothers and sisters to you, Father. And we pray that your comfort and protection and your help would come, and that you would mobilize us through your Spirit to respond to our brothers and sisters and to meet needs where we can meet a need, to help where we can help, to encourage where we can encourage, Father. And we pray that you would give us wisdom and insight to do just that, Father. But we thank you for our church. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for the global church, all believers around the world who are mobilized, Father, to love one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another. So we do pray for our brothers and sisters in the church. So, Father, we just continue to ask that you would be with us as we navigate through these days, and may you be glorified in spite of what culture tries to do, in spite of what's going on in the world, Father. May you be glorified. May souls be saved. May people be transformed by, and may their minds be renewed by the power of the Word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, my brothers and sisters. Let's go to the Word of God. If you have a notepad, if you have some sort of journal, please, I encourage you to do so. But essentially what we're looking at in these first verses is that so that is there. And some translations, you'll see the word therefore. And therefore means that it's responding to a previous argument or the previous teaching that was been given to us in chapter 1. And I will want to show you how this works by going back to verse 22 and reading it quickly, and so that bringing us to this point so you can see how it connects. It's rather striking. Verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, amen, that's obeying the truth, the word of God, for a sincere brotherly love, there's that love that comes from God, love one another earnestly. And that's, again, that's different from what we try to do. It's the kind of love that comes from God, that's given to us by God. Love one another with earnest love from a pure heart. And we know that our hearts aren't pure, but we know that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God, by the Word, is sanctifying, washing us and purifying. So that's what he's talking about here. And then verse 23, since you have been born again, and that's the big deal, born again, we've been made alive in Christ, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. So Peter is going to great pains to make sure that we understand as believers, not only those believers in his day, but those of us in this day, that it is all centered in the Word of God, the Bible. And so this is what he's talking about. This is that imperishable seed, that it's a seed that's from heaven. It's not earthly, temporal thing. It's not just treasure we find on earth. It literally comes from God himself. So that is through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news. That's the gospel, the good news that was preached to you. That's why we must hear the word of God. This is the good news that was preached to you. And then he says, so, therefore, this is how we live. And that is that's what leads us into this section as we think about these verses. And he says, so, in light of that, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. In verse 1, we see five sins. Now, in other places in the New Testament, there are similar lists and other words and other things that are, and of course, there are not only five sins, but Peter picks these and he has us look at these, I believe, for a specific reason. But we'll see how this is not something mysterious. This is something that we see clearly in the New Testament as people are being made alive in Christ and set into the family of God, set to live to the glory of God, and are expected and will produce fruit in keeping with that repentance, thereby demonstrating and proving their salvation, that they are new creatures in Christ. And so now five things, and I want us to kind of couch this in this idea. What we see here in the main idea, the main point of this sermon today as we look at these three verses is this, that we must ask the Holy Spirit to enable us to put away these things that war against our relationship with God. Let me say that again. Very important. And it's a simple way to think about it and to remember. Put away old things. Put away those things that war against your relationship with Christ, your relationship to God, and your life in Christ. There are going to be those sins that are from the human nature that will continue to war against you. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that flesh will cause in us, it'll be a battle for us to put that flesh down. But here's the good news, and Peter says it here. The good news is that the gospel was preached to you, so you know this gospel is that now as you have been made alive in Christ, been saved by the grace of God, you are now enabled to fight those things. Whereas before, this is how you were. You had no way to do anything about it. It was just nature to do these things, to be malicious, to be deceitful, to be hypocritical, to be envious, to slander others. That didn't come hard. That's natural. It's easy to live that way in our old life. But when we've been made alive and we are new creatures in Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin. We are free from sin. Let me say that again. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are free from sin because we've been forgiven from our sins. And now we have the power by the Holy Spirit to fight those sins that will inevitably war against our relationship with Christ. And so five sins he picks up there. So again, number one, that main point, put away those sins like these that war against your relationship with God. And what are those? Number one, there's malice. Number two, there's deceit. Number three, there's hypocrisy. And number four, there's envy. And number five, there's slander. If you will list those, and you can begin to be honest enough, even if in your own devotional time, or maybe in a DNA, or in a small group, or maybe with another faithful, trusted brother or sister, you can be open and honest and talk about how these are still creating or wreaking havoc in your Christian life. They are hurting you. They're really causing destruction in your relationships. These are things that are not good that you still struggle with. And it may be time to come before the Lord humbly and say, God, I need your help to fight these things. So it's a good thing to list them and to be honest and look at them and ask, how are these affecting me as a Christian? How are these warring against me as a believer? And you may be thinking about that even right now. So let's look at what the scriptures have to tell us. Remember, we are no longer slaves to sin. We are saved from sin because we've been forgiven of our sin, and now we are children of God. We are soldiers in the army of God. So now we are given power. We are enabled. We're given all the tools, the armor of God, to fight and wage war against our sin. One faithful theologian put it this way, be killing sin or sin will be killing you. That theologian was John Owen. But let's see what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Galatians 5, 25, and these references are in your worship guide. It says, if we live by the Spirit, in other words, if we live under the newness of life we have in Christ Jesus, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, we live in the Spirit, we live towards the Spirit, we live that way that is toward godliness. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning to verse 9 says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And now we don't have to be deceived because all things have been made new. There's a renewing of our mind taking place. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we see this. Now, look at these lists that we're given. And some of them are striking. They're hard to hear, but they're needful so that we can begin to put perspective on how sin is devastating to the life of a believer. Yes, certainly the unbeliever, but it's devastating to the life of a believer. This is why the Holy Spirit enables us to fight these things. And so, do not be deceived, my brother or sister. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. This is our old life. This is our old life. But you were washed. You were washed. So now, this thing that we see right away that Peter says, put away, or in other translations, rid yourself of these things, that language in the original Greek carries the idea of taking off soiled clothes. Imagine if you were doing something and you fell into some mud or muck or dirt or whatever it is, and you just got all these, and you just, the first thing you want to do is take those things off. Well, this is the imagery that Peter is giving us in these. Take off those old clothes, that old way of life. You wore a certain garb as a non-believer. As a believer, as Christians, as Christ followers, we wear different clothes. Clothes that are clothes of righteousness, right? The robes of righteousness. And God has cleansed us. We see how this imagery is given to us in the parable of the lost son when the father puts the robe on the son. This is what happens when we are saved. We are made alive in Christ. Christ, he clothes us. He did that in the garden when Adam and Eve could not adequately and rightly cover themselves. But there was a sacrifice made so that they could be properly clothed. And this is what it means to put away, to take off those clothes and put on the new clothes. And this is the language we're given in Scripture that Peter's describing for us here. And it's incredible as we look at these five, some malice, that malicious intent, that just really desiring ill will towards someone. Man, that's something I think we can identify. We see a lot of maliciousness in our society. Now, it's always been there, but sometimes it's just magnified for different reasons. And it's really sad, but that is unbecoming. That is not Christ-like. This is not something that characterizes a true follower of Jesus Christ, regardless. And sometimes we think we are being malicious for the right reasons, but there is no such thing. We must be humbled, and we must do things in love, decently and in order. These are things that characterize a person who is filled with the Spirit. And so these are very, very important as we consider what it means to be washed. And it says there at the end of that verse, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. It is God's work that washes us from these things. And then we see in Galatians 5, I'm going to take you a few verses up. We read 25, but let me take you to verse 19. Look at this that we're given in Galatians. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. My goodness, what a list. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But here's the good news. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus... Notice the qualifier there. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, have put away, have taken off, have rid themselves, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And that word desires there is very similar to the word that we're used here in that second verse, like newborn infants long. It's a craving. It's a longing. It's a desire. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 25, it says, therefore, having put away, you see that language again, having put away falsehood. Remember, one of the sins here that Peter lists for us is deceit. Deceit. Put away falsehood. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Amen. We are together. We must encourage one another. We are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Of course, we're going to be angry. But it's the sin in that anger that is the problem. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Amen. Let no corrupting talk, read that in verse, right there, Ephesians chapter 4. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. That speaks to the slander that Peter's talking about in our text. But only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Boy, that's an an interesting thing. Grace cannot just simply happen by us trying to con somebody or trying to comfort somebody. That only comes by the Holy Spirit, that we can extend something that's been given to us. We love because he first loved us. It's a conduit thing. And that's how the Christian life works. And I love this. And that says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's what these sins do. They grieve the Spirit of God. And that's why we must wage war, brothers and sisters, soldiers of God. We must wage war on these sins, this battle with the flesh. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Aren't you thankful that you've been forgiven? That God has forgiven you of your sin? However heinous it might be, I'm thankful that God has forgiven me of my sin. Sin that I look back and, why, I really pray that there would have been some way that that wouldn't have happened, but so be it. I can only thank God that he has forgiven me of my sin, and it will not be counted against me on that day. And even though I have to live perhaps the rest of my life with the consequences of some of that sin, I can trust in the saving, forgiving work of God through Christ Jesus in my life, and I can rest in that promise. And so we see there that these sins are going to war against our relationship to God. We need to ask, how is malice? Is it possible that there's a maliciousness in me that needs to be taken down, that needs to be put away? Is it possible that I need to be truthful and I'm being deceitful and I'm being cunning? I don't want to tell the truth because I just don't want to deal with the truth, and so I find ways to be deceitful. All of us can do that at times, and we must put that away. Hypocrisy has the idea of an actor who is acting out a part in a play. And this is a criticism that's leveled against churched people all the time. Oh, the church is full of hypocrites. Well, the idea is, of course, we all struggle with these kinds of things, but we must war against, put those things down and not act something that we're not. And this is why humility and authenticity and truth matters. This is why the Word of God matters, because it is the Word of God that will break that down in us. It is the Word of God that will call that out in us. Praise God for that. And we should desire that. I'll get to that in a minute. And envy, that's the idea of this dissatisfaction that we have with what we've been given, and we long for what others have been given. We desire what somebody else has, and it comes and destroys the way that we think, the way that we feel, the way that we spend our money. And this is something we must put away. And so these are practical things that have great implications in our everyday living as believers. But in verse 2, Peter now gives us an imagery, an illustration. He says, man, this is how we can do it. This is how that happens. Like newborn infants. Now, I don't believe Peter is saying here that these people he was speaking to are new infants in Christ. No, some of them have been in the church for over 30 years. What he's saying is that just like a baby desires milk, just like a baby craves for food, if you know anything about infants, you know that, boy, they have a certain, if they're hungry, they're going to let you know, and they need to be. So they crave, they have this instinctive craving for milk. And Peter is like, he's illustrating the way that is with the believer, that as believers, no matter where we are in our Christian journey, in our spiritual life, that we must pray that God would always keep in us a craving, a holy craving, a holy desire for the pure spiritual milk that is the Word of God. And so we see that he's giving us that imagery of really establishing that desire. Why? Because it is that craving. This is what marks many true followers of Jesus Christ. Like, there are many people who claim to love Jesus, claim to follow Jesus, claim to preach the gospel, claim to shepherd the flock of God. But have no real craving for the Word of God. They crave other things. They crave ideas. They crave concepts. They crave growth models. They crave other things, but they have no craving for the Word of God. And it is really only the Word of God that will help us. It's as if we're trying to find what is nutritious in other ways. Like, we know this is nutritious, but we don't want to eat the nutritious food because we have cravings for that stuff that's not good for us. You know what I'm talking about. So all of us have cravings. We must pray, God, give me that craving. Put in me that desire for your word. And I am always encouraged to see my brothers and my sisters who I can tell, I can see that in you. You crave the word of God. And sometimes you get frustrated because you can't understand all that you want to understand. That's a good thing. I understand that. I'm there with you. I wish I could understand it all, but I'm thankful for the way that he reveals the truth to us as we continue to pursue, to desire, to crave the pure spiritual milk that is the Word of God that Peter is talking about. So he says in verse 2 again, like newborn infants, long or crave for this pure spiritual milk. Why? That by it you may grow up into salvation. Interesting. Well, I thought I was saved. Yes, you were saved. You were made alive. You're now alive in Christ. But there's a process. There's a salvation taking place in your life from now that you've been made alive to the time that Jesus comes. And it is that that Peter is alluding to here. And then he says in verse 3, he pulls from Psalm 34, verse 8, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And again, I think it's the way he's communicating that, we can almost understand that if you really are saved. I don't think Peter is questioning their salvation. I think he knows the believers he's writing to love the Lord and have been dispersed, and they've been enduring persecution, hardship, suffering, but they love the Lord and they're growing in their faith, and he's teaching, he's being a faithful teacher, a faithful preacher, a faithful expositor of the truths of the gospel that every believer needs, and that's what he's communicating. He's simply saying, you know what it is to taste. You know, if you've tasted this, then you, as I know, this is good stuff. This is the good stuff that we must desire. And so again, he gives us the picture of the innocence of a child, even though we are called not to be like children. And again, we see other things. Remember, Jesus himself talked about what it is to be childlike. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, beginning of verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, this is Jesus now, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children. For our purposes, just as to illustrate this text that we're dealing with in 1 Peter chapter 2, I want you to look at it. Unless you put away those things, unless you rid yourselves of those things and become like children. In other words, have that childlike innocence, that childlike desire of things. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child, you see the point that Jesus, he's using that as a teachable moment. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so without that kind of humility, that childlike humility, there really is no growth. But whoever causes one of these ones, one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Wow, striking language, making a very important point. In Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, here he does it again, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. To such, those who are growing and warring against those sins that are destroying our lives and are seeking to crave more of the Word of God and staying in the Word. This is kind of the point that Jesus is making here. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is very, very important. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul brings something like this up. He says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. So you can see the contrast now. In other words, don't be naive. Don't just go on, just fly by the seat of your pants. Grow in the Word. There's no way you can just stay a child all your life. At some point, you need to mature. So that's a very important aspect to what we're talking about. But there is something to be said about that childlike craving, that desire, that sometimes with a life and with sin can really be damaged or hurt, will be. So our only hope to really see that rekindled in us is to be sanctified by the grace of God. And so Paul gives this in 1 Corinthians 14, brothers, do not be children in your thinking, be infants in evil. You see the contrast? So that's kind of the point, that be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. Be mature. Good word. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents. That's be mature, grow. In other words, know the word. And innocent as doves. The childlike humility. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people. This is very important, the point that Paul makes here. But as people of the flesh. You're still in the flesh. You haven't battled those things. You're not fighting against your sin. As infants in Christ, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you were not ready. Still not willing to grow. Still not having developed the craving for the Word of God. It's like, I'll get to it. Every now and again, I'll see. No. When we have been saved and transformed by the gospel, it produces a craving, a desire. That's really a testimony to God's work in your life. When you have a desire, a craving, a holy craving for the Word of God. And he says, for you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, he says, these things are among you. You are not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way. This is not how you are to operate. You're operating, you're acting and behaving in a human way, but you've been saved. This is not who you are. Your identity is in Christ. Grow up. Man, that's a good word. And sometimes it's not easy to hear, is it? I need to hear that. You need to hear that. But there are times in life when we just need to realize, no matter where we're at, what season of life, we need to grow up to maturity. We need to get past some of the immature things that we are hanging on to, still doing, making excuses. But by God's grace, this is what the Word of God is for, to cut those things out in us, to call us out, to comfort us through it, to discipline us through it. Praise God for that. The writer in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, again, the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And it only happens as you are a humble student of the Word of God, not in your way, not by yourself, but with the Spirit of God and with the people of God and with the community of Christ. Very, very important. Psalm 34:8 that Peter pulls here, and he mentions to us, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Remember, Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes, he is. He is good, brothers and sisters. Amen. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Again, blessed is anyone who takes refuge in him. Don't take refuge in your own ideas. Don't try to make your own ideas work. Don't try to battle sin on your own. You and I cannot win in our own strength. We can only do those things in Christ. Paul said it in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You have no strength on your own. Don't let anybody deceive you of that. The only strength you and I have as believers is in Christ and in Christ alone. With that, I'd like to wrap this up and close and bring up this passage in Psalm 119, beginning at verse 97. Psalm 119 is a really long psalm, but it's amazing how we get this language in the psalm. The psalmist says this, and I want you to carefully listen to this as we close. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. Man, look at that. Let me read that one again real quick. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Don't mistake that. There's a reason for that. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. You see the connection? I put away those things. I fight those things. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. I pray the word of God is teaching us today. Amen. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Again, brothers and sisters, friends who are listening, this is an opportunity to really consider what is being taught in this text, to look at those five sins and have an honest heart-to-heart prayer time with God, maybe a conversation with a trusted brother or sister, and see how these are affecting you, even as believers. How maybe you realize that you should have a craving that you don't have. You should be craving the word of God instead of craving whatever that is, fill in the blank. And may God, through his Holy Spirit and through the teaching of this text, maybe that would be developed in you, a holy craving to desire more of the pure spiritual milk that is the word of God. And may you be built up. That's what warring against these sins do. It protects us from not being built up as we are designed to be. Let's be made mature in Christ. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that you once again remind us how devastating this sin is to the Christian life. And Father, we have now been given the tools. We've been armed. We've been clothed. We've been enabled by your Holy Spirit to wage war against the things that enslaved us when we were dead in our sins and trespasses. But now that we are alive in Christ, Father, we know we need your help. Help to fight this battle. Father, humble us. Help us to fight our own pride, our own knowledge, our own ideas, and to turn to the truth of all truth that literally sets us free and causes us to live in a way that glorifies you, Father. And so we pray that you would allow us to be like newborn infants, to long, to crave, to desire the word of God more than we have ever. And to that, Father, we glorify you. Thank you for teaching us, for correcting us. Father, for continuing to love us through this thing called life until we see you that day, Father. Help us to be victorious over these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.